then they always had, then they had the sulky races, you know. And I think those were the last ones that were there, because when I was moved out of the, in, over on First Street, I could hear them sometimes at night if the wind was right. Mm-hmm. But, oh, they had, they'd park on the street, you know, and of course when those races were going on, like, you were allowed to park places that you never parked before, but if you parked some other place, they hauled them away, and then they had to pay a fine to get them.
Mm-hmm. Who was police chief most of the time, do you think?
I've forgotten the man's name. He lived on, he lived there on, he lived on Wing Street. Mm-hmm. He was chief of police, and he didn't have much to do.
No, no. Now, in our time, the chief was Chief Denton.
Well, I think there was one before him.
Mm-hmm.
And I, that was the one when we first moved there, and I can't think of his name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who were some of the other library aides? You mentioned that there was another aide.
Well, there was a girl, she, her name was Kathleen Springer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, something came up and she got kind of huffy about something. We had them out from Detroit at a meeting. She said she worked just half a day, so finally she worked. She lived on Wing Street. And finally she worked a half a day. And I had a Christmas card from her, and I got Christmas cards, and that was after I fractured this hip. I guess, well, I hurt this hip twice, and the last time I was in that awful place over across the street there. What was the name of it? I was there 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gave me physical therapy, and I had to do exercises, and I had to learn to practically walk again, because I had fractured this hip, and they had to put the bone yard.
Oh, yeah.
Another bone been put in there.
Oh.
And I to see him on Good Friday, so it'll be about 4 months since I've seen him. So, and it does the pain, but I take Tylenol and.
Yeah.
And it'll stop it.
When you broke both shoulders, was that a fall?
Yes, I was down on Groseal visiting. And we went to see a person that I hadn't seen in years. And we went to the front door and rang and rang and rang a bell, and we could see her. And evidently their bell wasn't running, so I said, let's go around to the back. So we started around to the back, and there was a driveway there, and the driveway had a curb like that. And this friend of mine cut across the lawn, and I didn't see that curb because it was just dusk, you know. And down I went, and I broke both shoulders. And I was in the hospital in St. Mary's, I guess, for 3 weeks. And I had to have therapist come, and honey could do this first time. And then they said I wouldn't get the use of my shoulders, only about like this, but I can get way up here.
Oh,
and this one I can't quite because it's just,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't notice, don't notice it only once in a while, and now I have to, I can't get a lot of things out of the closet because I have to use this, you know, to stand on now.
Yeah.
To use a walker, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know the first time I came back after being over there, I think it took me a half hour to walk down to the dining room. People that I didn't even know said, well, Rhea's back.
Uh-huh. been keeping track of you.
Oh, yeah. That was an experience. That was terrible.
Yeah.
The food was terrible, and it was cold. But the aides were right there the minute you each had your own bell, you know, and you could just press that button. And there was always somebody there, and they were always so good to you.
Yeah.
At night, because I didn't want to get out of bed and walk into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And there were four people that used the bathroom anyway,
mm-hmm.
two on one side and two on the other.
Yeah.
And so I just asked for the bedpan, and
mm-hmm.
they'd come in. They were so nice about things like that.
That's really great. I think if you had to have anything good in the rest of the day, I'd rather have the people. But it would be nice if they could keep you warm and well fed.
Oh, the food was terrible over there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you couldn't even eat what they had. You couldn't even cut it.
Yeah.
Let alone.
Yeah. Oh.
It was quite an experience that 3 months, I could tell you. And another time, there were some boys that came in after school. And you know how fussy they are. They're just ready to tear everything up, and their parents came after them instead of waiting for the bus. And they'd come in after school most of the time to behave, and one afternoon they came in and they were making a lot of noise, so I went upstairs and I said, "Now, you'll have to keep quiet." And we had a balcony up there, you know.
The balcony, right. And that was with the young adult books, wasn't it?
Yes, high school.
High school age books.
And so I went up and I said, "You'll have to be quiet. You're making too much noise for the rest of the people." I had to do it again. And I said, "Next time, out you go." So I think they were just trying me out. So I said, "All right, now come on." And I got them out on the front porch and I said, "Now scream as much as you want and holler." And they did. Now I said, "Go upstairs and study." And you know, I never had any trouble with those kids after that. So we had really, there was a lot of fun in that library, you know.
Yes.
All the little things.
Yeah.
And we used to have to send a report out every month. And they only sent one sheet. And
who did it go to?
It went down to them. You remember where Scripps Library was in Detroit at the corner of Grand River and Trumbull?
Okay, so if you reported to...
We had to go down there once a month and order books for the library.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally moved to, I guess it's where...
Is that the... Was it the main one that would be across from the DIA now?
No.
Jefferson?
No. No, this was Grand River and Trumbull. They came in like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then did you say they moved, though?
Yes, then they moved to Wayne. And there.
Oh. Yeah. Now it's called the Wolf. Wayne Oakland Library Federation.
Federation of Libraries.
Yeah.
And I know when they first started, they asked Northville to pay a certain amount, and everybody got kind of mad about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one man, especially he was always hollering, you know, about the library, we didn't need it, and so on and so forth. We had to go up the steps from the road, up steps into the library. And I remember one day, somebody parked down there, and I saw it, and I called the city hall, and I told them that somebody was there. I used to have to do it once in a while anyway.
They weren't supposed to park in front of the library.
No, they weren't supposed to park. It turned out to be one of those. I don't know, but anyhow, he had some big job. And it didn't take long before he was moved, I can tell you. He moved right away. And then when we had trouble with the toilet one time, and three men came over from the city hall, and they sat downstairs and talked and talked and talked. All they did was make a hook out of a coat hanger and put it.
Did it work?
Anything that happened, you know, we had to, the person that was in charge of the library had to call us, the city, call Detroit and tell them what had happened, our headquarters, you know. Oh, there were such crazy things that happened, you know.
Yeah. Well, then we were part of a federation that far back. I didn't know when we joined some federation of libraries. I didn't realize that.
Yes, and then after that, but it was Detroit Public that sent most of our books out. And everybody, every library got the same. Mm-hmm. Didn't make any difference, you know. And mm-hmm. then they had it so that each person could go in, I think, once a month they had children's books. We selected children's books, and another time we did the adult books, and then we had a chance to look them over and read them, and whether they'd be adult, not on the shelves, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So you had kind of these shopping visits.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And everybody got the same shipment, maybe different quantities.
Yeah. Usually just one.
Oh.
And I said, what are you going to do when you have an assignment with four or five, maybe two grades wanting the same thing? And they said, well, we'll see if we can't send out more at that time. And we did, but they couldn't, of course, cover all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just too many.
Mm-hmm.
One little boy came in. It was when they were heading that book, Forever Amber.
Yeah.
And he, his chin just was on the top of the desk. He was so tiny. And he said, I want that dirty book. I said, did your mother send you?
No.
I said, well, why do you want it? He says, I want to read it. And I said, well, can you tell me what it's about? He said, yeah, the little boy that wouldn't take a bath.
Somebody that he felt sympathy with.
But really, there were so many funny things that happened, you know. But I really enjoyed that time that I was there in the library.
I know people liked having you there too. So it was very pleasant.
I know I went into the new library and there was a boy that was sitting there and he was kind of sulking, and I said, what's the matter? One of the boys that used to come in, and he said, oh, that new librarian wouldn't let me smoke in here. But they did let them smoke for a while, anybody that wanted to, you know, for a while. He says, he won't let me smoke in here. And I said, I wouldn't have either. And he said, you wouldn't have? I said, no. And he said, you know, you'd have gone at it differently. He said, you wouldn't have told me what she did. So it makes a difference, just what you say.
Sure, sure.
And so.
Well, now, who took over after you? I can't remember who was...
Well, that was another thing I was going to ask about. There was an article in the paper, and I didn't save it, about a librarian that had come to Northville, and she worked in Northville, and then she went over to Plymouth. And I remember her being there in Northville a short time, and she had library science. And she took maternity leave. And usually when I gave a shower gift or something or other, I would give an ornament for the baby's first Christmas tree.
Oh, nice.
And this young man, it said something about his mother being in the Northville Library, and I can't remember the name. And I thought, well, I know I gave her a Christmas tree ornament for his first Christmas tree.
Makes you wonder if he knew which ornament was that one.
And I wondered, and I thought maybe I might call a library there and ask who he was. But I never did do it. But.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to read for so long that I haven't bothered, but they bring books over here, you know, and you can get as many as you want.
Yeah.
And they try to send you the new ones if they're available.
Yeah.
And, but I have to use a magnifying glass, and that isn't fun reading the book that way.
Word by word by word.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do the paper frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. I'm trying to think, like I said, they told us not to grow. Anything else you can think of? Because I...
No.
Are there any, like, fires in town or anything?
No, but we had, when our headquarters was down on Trumbull, we had a fire there in the blind department, all the blind books. And the funny part of it was, there was a bunch of us got together, and one of the, Dr. Murphy, she worked out at Newberry Sand, and she always could tell tea leaves, you know. And she said, well, there's going to be a fire. She's going to be on the second floor. And she said, it's, nobody's going to be hurt, but you won't be getting some of the books that you want. And two or three days after that, that happened.
Now, was that the Dr. Murphy that lived on Horton Street?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, because in a way, she hasn't been gone very long.
I was trying to think.
Don Severance had to settle the house.
Yeah, and oh, it was dirty.
Full stuff.
Yes, and she had her mother's ashes in a shoebox in the basement. And they found dollar bills that were just ground into the floor because they were so dirty. And you know, they found her leaning against the wall. Somebody went by and tried to get in, see if she was all right, and they couldn't get in, and the doors were locked. And they found her there, and then they sent her to...
She wasn't dead then, she was just so weak.
Yes, and she was kind of confused a lot of the time, and she had a bad sore on her leg most of the time, and she used to smell terrible. You could hardly get near her, you know, and...
She came into the library, didn't she?
Oh, she came in a lot. She was just my age, and she, you know, she had pure white hair, and she was lots of fun, and she, we used to get together in different places, and her mother was living in, her mother was such a, she'd been a teacher in Chicago, and her mother was there, and they lived together, but I just wondered how they got along.
How was Murphy spelled?
M-O-E-R-K-E.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And she was out walking. She was up at, what's that hot? Why not on 10 Mile? I don't know, convalescent.
Yeah, yeah.
She was up there. And they thought that she would, they'd take her up there. And I think she was there, I don't know how long. And she was out walking the day before, and she was just fine. And the next morning she didn't feel good, and they called Dr. Murphy, or Dr.
Anderson?
No, Wetterstrom.
Oh, yes.
They called Dr. Wetterstrom and asked Dr. And Dr. Wetterstrom stayed there all day, and she died about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but he stayed there right with her right until the last minute. I had a card from when Dr. Wetterstrom married the second time, you know. Oh, yes, his wife died, and I think she had cancer. And she didn't have any, I don't think she had chemotherapy, but they had, took care of at home, and they had 5 children, and one of them was a nurse. And when they got married, he was very fond of Mother. And so Mother did china painting, and I gave him one of Mother's pieces of china. and I had a letter from him, and he said, sometime when you're writing, will you tell me where your mother lived and how old she was when she painted this?
I just want to put it right with it.
Yes.
So now, where was he living then? Still in town?
No, they had moved, but she wanted to go to Florida. And he said, you know, when you retire, it's a foolish thing to go someplace unless you go a couple of times to see, besides that you wanted to go there. But she wanted to go, so they went. And she was taller than he was.
Oh.
And I had this little note from her.
Who was she?
She was a teacher that had taught at Riverview.
Near Trenton.
Yes, down that way. Mm-hmm. And she had a family, and she was a widow. He was Catholic, of course, and she wasn't, so I guess they were married twice. I don't know what it was. I did cut the article out of the paper. Oh, I had so much stuff, and then when I hurt my leg the first time, or my hip the first time, I just said, go in there and just divide everything up and take what you want. And so there's still some things over in my niece's house. They took everything over there because I was in the apartments.
Now, at your niece's house, was that Dick Lyon's place? Or your niece, actually?
My niece.
Who was she?
She was Lois. Lois Lyon, and she married somebody by the name of Tobin.
Uh-huh.
Lois Tobin.
Uh-huh. And she's still in Northville or Plymouth?
No, she lives in these things just go from me.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Westland.
Oh yeah.
And she taught drama in Westland. And she's retired now, and she's going someplace. Dick and Martha went to Hawaii, and they'll be back soon. And they'll be back, and she'll be gone, but there'll be somebody here anyway for me all the time. And, But I really like it here. I don't mind it at all. They come every day and clean the bathroom, and they mop, they use the vacuum on the floor, and I got so much stuff, and I wondered what I could get rid of, and I've been trying to go through some of my things, but I can't stand up too long, and then my hip starts to hurt.
Yeah.
But,
I was going to say, whether you watch TV in some other place or here.
Yeah, I watch it here. Now, when I was over in the other building, they had one when I was over there for 3 months, but they wanted such crazy things to look there that I couldn't take them. I don't turn mine on until evening. I never watch those. I can't take them.
Yeah.
And I think they're good for anybody that wants them, and elderly people and sick people. I think it's wonderful, but I can't take them. And so usually at night, they brought this bed in special for me, and I can raise it up. It's a hospital bed. And they, so then I, at night, at 6:30, I watch the news, and Tom Brokaw, did you notice he's got more hair?
Yeah.
Last few nights.
The shatterproof glass was Mr. Chase in Northville.
Oh, but, was it?
Yes, but the production then, your father knew the chemicals that were needed.
Yes.
And I understood there was something he had to put in the glass so it wouldn't.
Uh-huh. Because he was superintendent of what used to be, years and years ago, the Michigan Carbon Works.
Uh-huh.
And then it was American Agricultural Chemical Company.
Uh-huh.
And they make agricole now, fertilizer now.
Yeah.
And my dad, I remember one night, he had to go they put some new, he designed some of the machinery that they were using there at the camp. They made other things besides gelatin. And I remember they put a new machine in, and he didn't know how it was working, and he couldn't sleep. And Mother came in my room, and she said, "Now, your dad can't sleep until he goes see if that machinery's right." And he said, "I'm going with him. Do you want to go?" So we went.
In the middle of the night?
In the middle of the night, and stayed while he went into the factory to see if everything was all right.
Oh.
And he didn't smoke very much. And usually one cigar on Sunday and a half a cigar during the week, because they had a sign up, you know, no smoking except in the office. But Dad thought, well, he had to go around to all these different places in the yard, and why shouldn't he keep up the rules and not even smoke in the where they could when they had their meals and things. So he didn't smoke, because I know he had an ulcer at one time, and that was before x-rays, you know. Mm-hmm. And the doctor asked him if he smoked, and he said, "Yeah, half a cigar at night and one on Sunday." He says, "Do you drink?" And he said, "Oh, occasionally a drink of wine." He said, "Well, you don't smoke nor you don't drink."
That small amount doesn't count. Yeah. Where was that plant? It was along the river, probably.
Yes, it was along the Rouge River.
Oh, the Rouge. Right.
And you went down what they call Foreman Avenue, mm-hmm. and off of 4th Street. Mm-hmm. And you went down Foreman Avenue, and it was right on the river. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is all gone. They don't have.
Yeah.
I think maybe, I don't know even whether they have a New York office anymore. Dad used to have to go to the New York office quite often.
When we were downriver, there was the story there was a salt mine somewhere there, too.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
In fact, lately, they've made some reference to it as a space that they could store waste.
Oh.
And that set everybody's teeth on it,
yes,
because
it
would be too close to water that would flow
uh-huh.
other places.
Uh-huh.
Too. Yeah, but there's that big empty space under the Rouge River that's a salt mine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've forgotten what salt company they that they made it for.
No, it wasn't Morton.
No, I'm sure it wasn't Morton. It was in one of the other ones.
Was Morton the one that never rains but it pours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gee. Well, like I said, they told us not to go.